97.5 Glory FM is your family radio station in North Georgia. Time once again for Community Focus, our public affairs program. I'm Mike Weinfurt with you, and my special guest this morning is Brian Heck, who's one of the candidates looking to become state court judge here in Hall County. Good to have you with us, sir.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you having me today.
Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it very much. There are three candidates on the ballot for this position, and it's very interesting. We were talking off the air. It's a nonpartisan election, and it's on it's on both the Democrat and Republican ballots, and also on a nonpartisan ballot, which you get a chance to vote early today through next Friday, and then on all of the different precincts across the county on May 21st. Let me start things off by asking you to talk to our listeners about a little bit about yourself.
Sure. First and foremost, I'm a husband and a father. My wife and I have been married for 21 years. We've got two wonderful daughters. Our daughter Olivia is graduating from Flowery Branch High School here in just a couple of weeks. Our younger daughter Lindsay is at Davis Middle School. They both play softball and keep us pretty busy that way. We attend 12 Stone Church down in Flowery Branch, and we've been there for a couple of years. Prior to that, we were commuting from Flowery Branch to Tucker for church down at our old church, Tucker Methodist, for about 25 years. So we've made that trip for a long time, but we've recently started coming closer to the house. Professionally, I'm a magistrate court judge. I've been on the bench for 2.5 years. I'm a former prosecutor in both the solicitor's office and the district attorney's office. I was the staff attorney for Judge Clint Bearden of the Superior Court. Prior to any of that, I worked in a distribution company over in Pendergrass selling Briggs & Stratton lawnmower parts. And I started with them as a 19-year-old kid with 11 cents in my checking account, pulling parts in their warehouse. And when I left them, I was their vice president of operations and general counsel. So true American dream there, working with that family-owned company. It was wonderful.
Wow, how about that? So tell me about this particular race and why you want to become a state court judge.
Well, state court judge, as compared to magistrate, is a trial court. State and Superior Court both do jury trials. The state court is where I cut my teeth with the solicitor's office for 4 years. It is fast-paced. It is incredibly fast-paced. They handle on the criminal side misdemeanor offenses and traffic offenses, so anything from shoplifting, possession of marijuana, domestic violence is a very large caseload in state court. Traffic side is going to be DUIs, and then really any other traffic offense, including speeding tickets, red light tickets, any of that, it all funnels through state court. And then on the civil side, the cases are more of the personal injury cases. The Superior Court has exclusive jurisdiction over domestic law, so anything with divorce and all that goes to the Superior Court, so then the personal injury stuff ends up in state court, which is a little bit more interesting of a trial than handling some of the domestic stuff.
So I was told, talking to the different candidates, that there are more than one Superior Court judges here in the Hall and Dawson County area. How about state court?
Yeah, there are three state court positions. Judge Larry Baldwin is our chief state court judge, and Judge Kelly Robertson is the other state court judge, having been appointed last year by the governor to replace Judge Roberts. And then Judge Brakefield is not running for re-election for state court. He's running for Superior Court, so I'm running for his seat on the state court bench.
So our guest this morning on Community Focus is Brian Heck, who's looking to become state court judge here in Hall County. So people have asked the question, and please answer this from this standpoint. I told him I'd ask the dumb questions. You may have had questions for us here. Why is there an election for a judge? It seems like it should be something that should be appointed by the governor.
You know, I'm a little conflicted on that. I always think it's better for the voter to make the decision on our officials. And the system is set up so that judicial positions are elected. Unfortunately, a lot of times, probably the majority of the times, what ends up happening is either a judicial position is created or a vacancy is created by a resignation or retirement, and the governor appoints somebody to fill the position. But the Constitution actually calls for the people to elect our judges. I love that idea. It just makes it a little more difficult. We've got to educate voters as to who the candidates are and what we stand for and why we would be the right choice.
And that's why you're here this morning, because the difficult portion of this whole process is that no one wants to see you in the situation that we're looking at. Being, no one wants to go to state court or magistrate court or superior court, and it's okay, who's Brian Hicks? So you're getting a chance to introduce yourself and educate people this morning. And that's one of the biggest things about why you should be the next state court judge.
Absolutely. I tell people all the time, nobody ever wants to come see me at work. And I take no offense to that. I get it. Most people do not want to spend time in a courtroom. It's a weird small segment of us crazy folks that went to law and wanted to do litigation that we enjoy going to the courtroom. The vast majority of the public does not want to be there, and I take no offense to that. I get it. But it is hard to meet voters and the public and introduce them, introduce myself, and get to know folks given the positions.
Are you able to go out into the community and talk to potential voters and see what the issues are for them when it comes to this position?
I've tried to. I've gotten out and spoken to a lot of folks. And if I haven't gotten a chance to come by your house, I apologize. Hall County is a big county. I'm realizing that. But we've had a number of opportunities where different civic organizations have asked us to come speak, and I've had the opportunity to do that and get to know some people that way, and hopefully answer questions to the satisfaction of the folks.
You mentioned how busy this position is. Let everybody know about an idea of how many cases that you would see in a day in a week.
Well, I can tell you on an annual basis.
Okay.
Last year in 2023, there were over 25,000 cases filed in state court.
Wow.
And that's divided between the three judges. And that includes traffic offenses, domestic violence, civil cases. So that's a total case count of a little over 25,000. A traffic arraignment may have a couple of hundred on it, and that's done in a day. And you can move those cases through relatively quickly, but it's still cases that have to be touched by multiple people and seen through the system.
And still, also, at times you have to seat juries, right?
Absolutely. State court handles jury trials for both misdemeanor and the civil cases. So that's when things really slow down, is jury trial week. That when I was in the solicitor's office, it was not uncommon for us to try three cases in a week. So it's a busy week, but that's just closing three cases instead of handling a whole lot more on other calendars.
So you mentioned about your background. So the magistrate court position there, you've seen court cases take place. Compare that to what you would see in the state court again.
I like to liken magistrate court to the infancy stage of a case. What we do in magistrate court is we sign original arrest warrants for charges, search warrants for investigators when they're investigating cases. We do the statutory first appearance. When someone is arrested, if they don't bond out, they're statutorily and constitutionally required to be seen by a judge within 72 hours. So we handle those hearings. We also do preliminary hearings in criminal cases. And then the case is bound over to state or superior court, where there would be motions and you know, negotiations and ultimately pleas or trials. So in the magistrate court, we handle the infancy side of the criminal cases. On the civil cases, we are we're the small claims court. So a civil action that is recoverable with money. We have a statutory limit of $15,000. So I can't force somebody to do something as a magistrate judge, but I can force somebody to pay money. And then we also do evictions in magistrate court. So we do civil trials. I've got a civil calendar this afternoon, but we do civil trials a few times a week, and we do criminal stuff a few times a week as well.
I'm glad you had time this morning to join us, because I can only imagine how busy you had to be there at your position there in magistrate court. So on the state court level there, so you have certain weeks that you have jury trials, and then the other time scheduling things. So you've got, how big a staff would there be in your position?
As a state court judge, it's the judge, an administrative assistant, and a staff attorney. And then a few bailiffs that are here and there when court's in session. But it's a three-person staff. It is, which my background is perfect for. Like I said, when I worked for the Briggs & Stratton distributor, if you know anything about mowing grass in the South, you know there's not a whole lot of lawns being mowed in November and December and January. But we prided ourselves on 40 years in business and never once laid off an employee. So we ran a lean and mean ship in the summer, and it was a great way to lose weight, that was for sure, working in that warehouse. But we ran a lean ship all summer so that in the winter we didn't have to lay anybody off. So I know how to manage time, manage assets, that even with a small staff, we can get things moving.
All right. How important is your budget that you receive from being a state court judge?
There's not much of a budget that goes into the state court judge. There's the court administration has the budget for bailiffs. Other than that, it's, you know, it's paper products and things of that nature. I have no expectation or need that I'm ever going to need to replace furniture. You know, Judge Brakefield's currently in the office, and his staff is currently in the office. And, you know, when he's not in that office January 1, the desks and chairs and all that stuff are still going to be there. It's not like we need new stuff. It still works.
As you said, so the staff, though, under you would be what, paid for by the county then?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. The staff attorneys, there's a they used to be called law clerks. They're called staff attorneys now.
Okay.
There is a provision in the statute that some of the money comes from the state. Some of it is picked up by the county. So those are kind of a hybrid position in terms of where the money comes from, whether it's state or county money. But then the judge and the admin are from the county.
Again, this morning we're talking with Brian Heck, who is a candidate to become the state court judge here in Hall County. Let everybody know quickly about how they can get in touch with you, sir.
Yeah, my website is electbrianheck.com. I'm on Facebook at electbrianheck. You can email me at brian@electbrianheck.com. My cell phone is 404-406-1844. I've had that number for 21 years at least. I know as long as I've been married, I've had that number. So you can feel free to text me, give me a call. If it's too late, I'm not going to answer it. At 10:30 at night, I got it to where it stops ringing to me. But you can reach out to me any of those ways.
Tell me about the importance of a relationship for a state court judge and the attorneys here in the area.
I think it's huge. As a practicing attorney in state court, I worked really hard to earn the trust of the judges that I was appearing in front of, as well as when I was in the DA's office. That if there's a trust between the attorney and the judge, then it goes a lot further. I'm not saying that we got to be best friends. I'm not saying that that we're having lunch together. I think a lot of times that there's that informality can be a negative or a disadvantage. But I think having a respect and an understanding of what's going on, I think for the judge to understand for a private attorney that they got other cases and other courtrooms. It's one thing for, you know, the solicitor's office is here in Hall County, and that's all they do is prosecute cases in state court in Hall County, whereas a defense attorney is representing clients in state court and Superior Court and Hall, Gwinnett, Dawson, White County. They're all over the place. And I think it's important for the judges to appreciate that as well, that attorneys aren't skirting their responsibilities, and they've got a whole lot of stuff going on. But as long as there's respect and trust between the two, I think that's what's key.
Different question here. How did COVID really affect, or did it affect at all, how courts run now since that time?
It's affected some of the technology, at least in the long run. In the short term, when the governor told us to go home, we took our laptops home. We kept working and processing cases. We weren't holding court for a little while, but not long after we went home, all of a sudden, I had never heard of Zoom before, and all of a sudden, everybody was using Zoom, and we were using Zoom at the courthouse, and we're still using Zoom at times. And it's been so there's been a positive change that way, that we've brought in some more technology to the courtroom, but we didn't miss a whole lot here in Hall County with the pandemic. That we were able to keep hearings going. We weren't able to do jury trials, but we were able to do a whole lot of other stuff over Zoom.
All right, with that, is there a backlog at all when it comes to cases here in the county?
I think the backlog has been pretty much caught up. I'd have to look and see a little bit more detail.
Mm-hmm.
But I know for coming out of the pandemic, we had received some COVID funds to help move some cases along, and I don't think there's all that much of a backlog as of today. at least stemming from COVID. There may be a backlog that stems from the crime lab, and I know the DA's office is dealing with that a lot more than the solicitor's office, that the crime lab in Augusta tests all the drugs. And until you get a test back, you can't actually say it is this drug, so they can't accuse it or indict it. So there's a big backlog from there, but I don't know so much that there's a backlog anymore from COVID.
Tell me about the subjectivity you would have as a judge when it comes to, right there you mentioned drugs, about the, I'm sure the vast number of cases you would see that has involves drugs here in the county now.
Well, in state court, the only drug that goes to state court is marijuana.
Got you.
The rest of them are all felony level.
Right.
So the only drug we see in state court is marijuana, and it's up to the solicitor's office to determine whether or not they're bringing those charges.
Very good.
So the subjectivity rests in the hands of the prosecutor.
Got you. And with that, the number of cases that you're seeing is almost like a rubber stamp at time. You say here's another case, for example, and is, you know, with last very long from the standpoint just because of the number of cases and maybe not quite as severe as others?
Well, there's not so much a rubber stamp as much as there is an understanding of here's what this is worth. So, for example, if you're 17 miles an hour over the speed limit and this is the first time you've had a speeding ticket in 5 years, then it's whatever that rate is. You know, when you have five people come in front of you with a speeding ticket that's 17, 18, 19 miles an hour over the speed limit, they're all getting the same thing, it provided they've got clean histories as well. If they've got two speeding tickets the last few years and they have this, then it may be a little bit more. And there's some consistency that way. I don't like the term rubber stamp, but I do think consistency is key.
That's why some people have asked that question from that standpoint. That's a good way to go into the next part of it. When it comes to the makeup of the county now, we mentioned your staff. How important is it now knowing the other languages here that might be coming before you from that standpoint? How does that work?
Well, we have a phenomenal interpretive services program here in Hall County that we've got court-certified interpreters that are in front of us every day. And it's predominantly translating English to Spanish and Spanish to English.
Okay.
That is predominantly the biggest language. And the interpreters do a fantastic job. As a state court judge, that is something that we need to look into, although not a whole lot of people call the judge's office that are litigants. And when they do, they get referred to the attorneys that are involved in the case. So if someone received a speeding ticket, or was arrested on domestic violence charges and they want to talk to the judge, they can't talk to the judge, but they'll call the office and then get referred to the prosecutor's office.
I can only imagine, you know, they'd say, well, the law is not the same where I was coming from, now it is here, and just understanding the laws of for Hall County, say, of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting from that standpoint. As we talk with Brian Heck, who's looking to become state court judge here in the Hall County area. I'm Mike Watford with you here as we bring you Community Focus, our public affairs program. All the different interviews are available on our website, WGTJradio.com. Click on the button on the homepage that says Community Focus, latest interviews. It'll take you to our page of all the interviews. We've talked to all the different candidates so far, different races that are contested. Again, this is a nonpartisan election, and you can see this race on both the Democrat and Republican ticket. Also, there's a nonpartisan ballot there if you want to just have that and vote for the nonpartisan elections. And, of course, early voting continues today through next Friday and then 2 weeks away before we have this thing. It's amazing how time's flying by this thing. A lot of people to see between now and then, right?
Indeed, indeed. A whole lot of folks to see, only 15 days left to do it. And then you throw in early voting. It's like, okay, have you already voted? Have you not voted? Do you vote early?
I mentioned earlier about seeing people. What are you hearing from people that you talked to about what they are asking about this race and about the position?
There's a lot of concern of how long cases languish.
Okay.
And making sure that when a case gets filed, it's moved through the system. And that's my number one priority, is moving cases through the system. Not in a situation that I just want to clear some numbers. It is definitely not that. But I understand when someone has to come to court, they're missing work. They're missing ball. They're missing where they would much rather be, to come deal with something in court, and then to not be ready or to delay or to have things continued out, and have multiple times where they've got to come to court is just it's frustrating for litigants, and it's expensive. And what I don't ever want to have is somebody decide, well, I'm just going to plead to these charges, or I'm just going to settle this case because I can't afford to take another day off of work. That's not justice. So the finding ways to streamline the process so that individuals are not having to come into the court multiple times. Now, when you want a jury trial, unfortunately, that's the nature of it, that there are multiple times to come into the court because you just don't know what's going to trial yet. But if we can limit that as much as possible, to allow people to take as little time off of work to seek to have their justice served in their case, whether it's a criminal case or a civil case, that's the only way to ensure that justice is happening is to be efficient.
On the state court level, are you seeing a large number of cases that are pled out before they get to you from that standpoint? Or they may be there, it's okay, judge, we won't do this?
The vast majority of cases in both state and superior court end up in a plea negotiation. Whether it's, you know, on the state court level, a traffic ticket or something more severe of domestic violence or DUI, I sit in superior court on a weekly basis. I preside over a plea motions and revocations calendar, and we have pleas that are, you know, 25 on a Tuesday, and it's, you know, pleading to possession charges, pleading to aggravated assaults, that the vast majority of cases end up in a plea deal, and then the courts then just have to work through those that truly do want a trial and get those things scheduled.
For those listeners who may have the question about traffic court, for example, does there has to be a representative from the sheriff's department, for example, or city police department that may have given that person a ticket from that standpoint, or is it just them coming for a judge?
The officer is required if you go to trial.
Gotcha.
When you show up to arraignment, so if you get a speeding ticket and they hand you a citation and it mm-hmm. says at the bottom, here's your court date, the officer's not going to be at that court date. That court date is arraignment. That's where you say, yes, I did do it, no, I didn't do it.
Gotcha.
And if you say, yes, I did do it, then you generally are going to pay a fine and be done with it. If you say, no, I didn't, then you'll get a court date, come back, and that's when the officer will be there. If the officer isn't there at trial, then yeah, then you win by default if the officer doesn't show up.
Got you from that standpoint. All right. Last couple minutes of the program. Enjoy talking with you, sir. Talk to our listeners directly and tell them why they should be voting for you, sir.
You should vote for me for state court judge because I am experienced, I'm efficient, I'm fair, and I will ensure that justice is done. I have been on the bench for 2.5 years as a sitting judge. I work full-time at the courthouse doing this. I have presided in state court and superior court as well as my full-time job as a magistrate judge. I have had the privilege and the honor of being Judge Goslin's backup for HELP Court, which is our mental health accountability court. We have phenomenal accountability courts here in Hall County. We are the tip of the spear when it comes to accountability courts. And I have served as a prosecutor on our state court veterans court program back when I was in the solicitor's office. And I love serving as Goslin's backup on HELP Court. I'm efficient. As I said, I worked in a business that never once laid off an employee, despite the very seasonality of our business. I know how to get a lot of work out of not a whole lot of folks. And we will run an efficient courtroom, get things moved, and allow folks to get back on with their day. I am fair. That's one thing you've got to ask of a judge, to be fair and impartial. My practice history is a prosecutor. However, as an individual, as a judge, I'm fair, I'm balanced. The best example I can give of that is several years ago, we had a very high profile case here in Hall County where three defendants were charged with murdering a Hall County deputy. I had been a prosecutor for 4 years prior to that. I had worked for Judge Bearden at the time of the trial, and I was on that jury. So I had the state's attorneys and then three different defense teams that put me on that jury to be fair and impartial in that trial. And I was, and I can't think of a better example of colleagues at the bar at the bar and bench trusting me to do to be fair and impartial.
All right. Again, thank you for your time. I appreciate it very much. Thank you for your service in Magistrate Court. Looking forward to talking more of him off the air and getting a chance to more know about him. And you can again go to our website, WGTJradio.com. Click on the Community Focus Latest Interviews button. It takes you right to our Community Focus page. You get a chance to hear this interview and all the interviews we have had so far on our station. Looking forward to having even more between now and May 21st. Again, primary election takes place on May 21st. If there is a runoff, it takes place on Tuesday, June 18th. So stay tuned as we bring you the information you need for you and your family on 97.5 Glory FM.